All right, let's go down to Chase Field and bring in Barry Bloom. Writes for Forbes.com, among others. Barry, nice to have you with us.
Hey, good to see you. I'm sitting here next to an old friend of ours, Terry Kennedy, who obviously caught for the Giants, caught for the Padres. He's a scout now for the Cubs. And we've been rolling over some of the things that we're going to be talking about here in the segment.
Well, terrific. I like it. Well, let's talk about the Braves, because the Braves come in here next. And you saw quite a game last night with the Braves and that young talent and the kid at third base, Camargo. Give us a little scouting report on the Braves, what we could expect when they come in. Because the Giants swept them in Atlanta. It was one of the Giants' best series of the year, and now Atlanta's coming in here in first place.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're, what, 2.5 games up on the Phillies, and, or 2 games up on the Phillies at this point. And, you know, I think they finished the season against each other. So, I mean, this all, like, the AL West, I mean, the NL West and the NL East are both going to come down, I think, to the end of the season, you know, with all these teams, the 5 teams are going to be jockeying with each other. You know, and Atlanta might be a little bit short of starting pitching and the bullpen. But as you point out, you know, you have Albies, you have Acuna. The kid Acuna, you know, he can hit, he can run, he makes great defensive plays. He made a great defensive play last night, flat out, diving in the outfield to rob a base hit. They've got Freeman and Marquez, two big left-handed bats in the middle of the lineup, and they're MVP candidates in the National League this year. They've done really well. You know, they've put together a very good team very quickly out of the ashes of where they were only a couple of years ago.
How does this thing end up? And I realize who can predict, but I've been talking a lot about it today and the fact that bullpens, we see with Arizona, with Bradley, who was a tremendous, and Boxberger and all these guys, and Ziegler had to save him last night. How does this thing end up, Phillies, Braves? Because both bullpens are kind of overworked, as all bullpens in baseball are, because of all the relievers who've worked this year. How do you see this one with Atlanta? Does Atlanta have the staying power to put the Phillies away and walk into this thing?
Yeah, I think they have the staying power to win, but just as I said, I think it's going to come down to the last weekend of the season and who does what against each other in that final series, because you rarely have a head-to-head series at the end of the season where, you know, both teams are going head-to-head with each other to win the division, and it'll be kind of an old-fashioned pennant race because neither one of them are really going to, I think, make the wild card. You know, the wild card either is going to come out of the Central or it's going to come out of the West. I don't think the teams in the East are going to have enough wins to do that. So essentially you have a head-to-head for the playoffs and a real, you know, old-fashioned pennant race with those guys. And it's just going to come down to that weekend. And I've got to tell you, you know, with the Phillies pitching staff and their top 3 or 4 guys, I think they're a lot better in that area than the Braves are. And those guys will get them to the back end of their bullpen and get them there, you know, where Atlanta, you know, might not at this point.
All right, very good. All right, good report on the Braves and the Phillies. I brought it up earlier when Joe Sheehan was on. The Phillies in 64 lost the 6.5 game lead with 10 to go, and Gene Mauch pitched 2 of his pitchers most of the games down the stretch. And the baseball gods have never sort of made up to the Phillies. Maybe this will be the year that they make it up to the Phillies and the Phillies can come back and win it late. You know, but then, as Joe said, I hope he doesn't pitch Nolan Arrieta, the only 2 down the stretch, but he's got more bullets than that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that was the short and bunting down the last week of the season. And what was it, a 6-game lead or a 4-game lead with 10 games to go?
6.5 and with 10 to go.
Yeah. And then the Cardinals wound up winning the pennant on the sneaking by everybody on the last day of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you look at it, and you look at the West and the East, and even the West and the American League at this point, because the A's are still only 3.5 games behind the Astros, that any of those are your races, and the Cubs and the Washington St. Louis is still alive. So, I mean, but particularly those two, those are races that could come down to playing games at the end of the season. And in the West, it would not surprise me one iota if if Colorado, Dodgers, and the Diamondbacks are all there at each other's throats the last weekend of the season.
Good.
And two of them wind up having to play each other.
That'd be fun. All right, I'd like that. Giants play the Dodgers the last weekend of the season. We've done that before. Barry Bloom is with us, Forbes.com. Barry, you wrote a column that you posted today on the MVPs. I'm anxious to hear your analysis of where. Now, of course, as I say, September is the month when these things are decided. You've decided them early.
Well, as I said in the column, it's with 3 weeks to go, these are my top candidates, and we'll see how it all turns out. But I think in both leagues, you look at it, and you know there are a lot of candidates coming down, just like the pennant races we just talked about. There's a lot of candidates playing for these teams who could exert themselves in the last 3 weeks of the season and then become, you know, head and tails over other guys to win it. So you just don't know what's going to happen. But I look at it in terms of, you know, the seasons that they put in so far. You know, when you have Goldschmidt and the impact he's had on the Diamondbacks this year and where he was in May to where he is now, I mean, basically he gained 100 points on his betting average from May 22nd to today, which is kind of hard in the middle of the season. And by the time you get to June, you've got so many at-bats that it's very hard to creep up your betting average 20 or 30 points, let alone 100, which is what Goldschmidt did. And J.D. Martinez, who played with him last year and was such a huge impact guy for the Diamondbacks the last month of the season, I mean, he's having a year that is out of this world. And so really a continuation of what he did after the Diamondbacks picked him up from Detroit here last July 18th in 2017. I mean, he just keeps going. He's batting like .339 with 68 home runs and 182 RBIs in the last 8 baseball months.
Goldschmidt and Martinez, those are two pretty good picks. What about Bregman?
Yeah, I think Bregman is in the mix, but you know, I didn't even mention him in the column. I think he's there, but there's just too many people when you go with, you know, Carpenter and Baez and, you know, the two Atlanta guys that we just mentioned, two guys from Colorado and Arenado and Story. Arenado's in the slump right now, and Story's been playing great. You know, so there we'll see what happens as we go down the last 3 weeks, as we were just talking about with the pennant races.
All right. I like Bregman in the American League. I think he's going to get in the mix with Betts and Bradley. Not Betts and Martinez and Trout. So we'll see. It's good. Look, this is terrific. I think we haven't had a good MVP race like this in a while. I mean, a real, not just 1-2, but 1-5 that you can make a good argument. All right. Last thing for you. You've been with us, God, since the beginning of March on Ohtani. You've taken us through the whole odyssey of him in spring training, not doing much, and of course the great beginning to his season, the injury now, Tommy John surgery for him. And do I understand it that he hasn't decided yet, but if he does have it, he'll be able to hit next year? Is that what I understand?
Well, I mean, I think that there's all kinds of things going on right now. I mean, I think here's a decision that he has to make. I mean, he's going to either decide that, and he's going to do it with the Angels and his agent, whether or not he forgoes pitching and doesn't do the surgery and just decides that his future as a major league hitter is good enough that he's not going to go through the surgery. And I think that's where he is right now. Because if he ever wants to pitch again in the major leagues, he's going to have the surgery in the offseason. And so in the rehab process of 12 to 18 months, you know, which is really elucidated by Dr. Andrews, who does more of these surgeries independently over the last 20 years than anybody. Basically, they say, take 18 months. Andrews has told me, take 18 months, and the chances of it not happening again are much better the longer you take in the rehab. Now, the question comes, where in that part of the rehab is the elbow strong enough and you're not putting it in jeopardy to start swinging it back regularly in game again as a DH? And whether it's going to be, I think it's a little late for the start of next season. I think you're probably looking at it at maybe May or June. He's 23 years old. He's going to be rehabbing and recovering quickly. So it might be sooner I think if he had done this surgery 3 months ago, which is what he should have done, he would have been ready for the start of the season to hit, and then by the middle of the season, he might have been ready to pitch. But now you're looking at him. He's not going to be pitching in the major leagues till 2020. So I think these are all the things that have to be decided right now in the mix of what he wants to do. And I think at this point, it's all up to what he wants to do. The club doesn't really have much control over it.
All right, let him hit. He's a darn good hitter. Let him hit. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, you just don't want to lose him. He's got such a great arm, and the Angels really need him as a pitcher, especially as a healthy starting pitcher. But, you know, I throw out there that, to me, if you bring him back as a hitter and a pitcher, I'd start him as their closer. Just tell him to go out, throw 20 pitches, throw 98. You don't have to worry about bullpens building up. We'll pitch every other day or how many chances we've got. They don't have a closer. They don't have anybody who can even approximate a closer there. So ultimately, he would fill that role. And basically, you could have him DH in a game, and by the ninth inning, he wouldn't even lose the DH if you put him in as a pitcher.
Oh, God.
It's a better way to go, you know, than having him try to start again and DH and then go on this crazy schedule that he was this year where they were trying to limit his innings by pitching him once a week. He's got to fit into the rotation at some point.
I think I'll, with that answer, I will tune in next year and let me know what happens. All right. Have a great afternoon. Thanks, Barry. Okay.
Thanks for having me on. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right. With that answer, I will tune in next year because I'm not sure what he said. All I know is let the guy hit. And if he doesn't want to, you know, if he doesn't want the Tommy John surgery, okay. But if he gets it and he can still hit, do that. You know, he's got the big contract. Boy, what a mess, huh? What a mess, Ohtani. What a mess. But he's a great hitter and he could be a great pitcher. But he has a bad elbow, so if he's ever going to pitch again, he's got to deal with it. So I say deal with it, and he's young enough to have a long major league career.